You know what that means? Time to talk about cars, your truck, your van, and maybe the problems you are having with it. And you need to bring it in for service at your favorite dealer, your favorite shop. The guy that's going to give you a little analysis over the radio is none other than Nick Stoffel, who is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive, among other things. Nick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things at Lloyd's, et cetera?
Very busy. The weather's trying to make its way through the spring summer feel, but folks are making their appointments and getting their cars ready for whatever comes next.
Yeah. Summertime travel, absolutely, among other things. We're already getting phone calls and text messages, and that's why we're here. Nick will be with us till just about 7:45, so any kind of a car care question you may have for Nick, let's hear from you sooner rather than later, we always like to say. 651-461-9226. You can call, you can text, and Nick will help you out over the radio. Speaking of Nick, there's another Nick calling in from Shoreview this morning. Nick, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
I was having a, it was kind of a long thing. Well, my air conditioning compressor, it was starting to rattle like the clutch was going in and out. Now, this is an older car. It's an 01 Buick Regal. And then, so I replaced that. I replaced the accumulated dryer. And the low pressure valve was leaking, so I replaced that. And now what happens is the clutch runs continuously unless I have it in the, it's like hit the off button and go in the vent mode, then it'll stay off. But the light will come on for the automatic temperature sensor control, but it'll stay off until I get it out of the vent control.
So I wonder if there's something with the control panel. Obviously, when you put on defrost, it's going to turn the compressor on, because that's, you know, even in the winter months, we want to have dry air clear in that windshield or any moisture. I wonder, too, about the level of charge. It might not be a bad idea to take it in where somebody could put a vacuum on that to make sure it pulls all the refrigerant out, puts it on a vacuum. You know, follows, there's a procedure about a period of time to hold that vacuum to make sure there's not any kind of leak, because if the system sees a fluctuating pressure change, you know, back and forth, it's not necessarily going to confuse it, but it's going to not operate the compressor all the time the way you want. So I think there could be an avenue there. Also something with the control hub, because when you said you put it to vent, it shuts it off. But if the button, if the light is on or off, usually that light would mean if the light is on, the compressor is engaged. So if that light's not responding accordingly or as it should, I wonder if there's something with that control head that's not working properly.
All right. Nick, good morning. Good luck with that, and thanks for calling this morning. Appreciate that. Good luck. Yeah, it's interesting to hear. As you know, Nick, we do get callers from time to time or texters that do have the ability to work on their vehicles. I'm kind of impressed with that. How about you?
Absolutely. You know, and some of the difficult thing here is this person's trying to, you know, work on their air conditioning system, which is great, but they likely don't have the right tool to recover, recharge the refrigerant, you know. So that's, you know, it's kind of give and take. Maybe he can put the components into the vehicle, take it to his shop or his people that help him out, and they can finish that procedure. Because I wonder if there's just not the correct amount of refrigerant, so therefore the system's not working properly.
Talking about tools, and I think certainly with the computerization that has come into your business, tools as well, you've seen some pretty good changes, nice changes with power tools besides computers, right?
Well, it is funny that, you know, and there's still plenty of air tools that are utilized, but a lot more of these battery-powered hand tools.
Oh, yeah.
They've made batteries small enough so they're light enough. You know, these guys have these tools in their hands all day, so that wear and tear does take its time. You know, if you're a do-it-yourself or where you're doing it once or twice here and there, but if you're holding these wrenches and these ratchets all day, every day, the fitment, the weight, all of that is very important. So it's nice to see some of these battery-powered tools have the capacity to allow our guys to fix cars efficiently yet comfortably.
Yeah, and have the power to do so. Yeah, absolutely. All right, looking at a text. that just came in a bit ago, new car, they don't say what kind, started to notice an intermittent hum or whirring noise, barely noticeable, but more noticeable when the radio is off. It sounds to me, Texter says, that this is the AC cycling on and off. It only lasts for a few seconds, but repeatedly. Also appears when accelerating. The dealership first said nothing wrong, then they said it was the alternator and replaced it. Well, now that warmer weather is back, I can hear it again. Do you have any ideas? That's a tough
one. Those are the most interesting and gratifying once you figure out what it is.
Yeah, in the meantime.
But a second opinion, sometimes a third opinion, as much information as you can document. You know, I can't say that enough. The more information you can share with the shop or the dealership, this situation, this scenario, and there's some good clues on what they've shared already, but every detail you can share hopefully will give them a clue to duplicate that situation, because those intermittent humming, annoying noises would drive me nuts. And I can't sympathize with this person. So I would say document it. Go back, share with them, maybe go for a drive with them so you can duplicate the noise and they can experience it with you and hopefully get to the bottom of it.
Once in a while, we get questions, usually in the text form, of someone wanting your opinion on if they should buy such and such a vehicle and want to know any negatives on that. And that's kind of a tough position for you to be in, isn't it, as far as not promoting, but endorsing or not endorsing a certain vehicle, right? I'm sure in your private life, fine. But I don't know if you can do that publicly.
Even at that, you know, people say, what do you drive? Well, as I've said on the radio before, I drive a big pickup truck because I have parking lots I need to plow snow. So I need a plow. So I need a pickup truck. It fits my needs. Now, depending on your needs, where you are in life, your affordability, all those things are such a huge factor. And as far as a particular vehicle, it kind of comes down to the maintenance. You know, I'm not going to, like you said, I'm not going to pick on a make or a model. We all have our opinions. You like Pepsi, I like Coke, this, that. You know, that's just a matter of opinion. But if there's a certain make or model that you do like and you are interested in buying, do a little research. Check the history of that particular vehicle itself, because it could be, a Toyota Camry that you just absolutely love, but the person that you're buying it from didn't maintain it at all. Well, that vehicle might not be a very good vehicle regardless of the nameplate. So I think it's more about the history of the vehicle that you're looking to buy than necessarily the make and the model. You can talk to your friends, your neighbors, get their opinions on makes and models. But once again, that's mostly just an opinion.
And you can also, something I used to do, I haven't done it for quite some time because I haven't been looking for a vehicle, but consumer magazines, and, you know, legitimate publications, either on the web or whatever. It's amazing what you can find on repair records of different vehicles and the different manufacturers. And it's good research, and it really will maybe save you a lot of heartache and money down the road. So I would alert that texter to check around. All right, let's take a quick break here. Let's invite our listeners. We're getting more text messages. If you want to call in your question for Nick, that's great. Or if you just want to send a text like other folks are doing, fine too. Either way, 651-461-9226. Keep in mind, Nick will be with us till just about 7:45. So let's hear from you sooner rather than later. Right now in the Twin Cities, we have 40 as a temp. We are heading for 66 today, 67 tomorrow, and maybe 70 on Monday, but then that kind of cooler daytime highs. We'll pick up on that forecast coming along in a few minutes. Right now, it's fair, it's 40. It's a Saturday here on 830 WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive, which is located where? How do we find Lloyd's if we need you guys?
Great question. So if you need anything from us, we will always answer your questions. That's what they're there for. So you can call us at 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul and you want to stop and say hi, you can find us at 982 Grand Avenue, which is on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. For more information, check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Some great coffee shops nearby, too, which I'll be visiting, I think, next week or so, next couple of weeks. We do get these texts from time to time. By the way, if you have a question, a car question, 651-461-9226. Average cost of replacing spark plugs. This, in this case, it's a 2019 Jeep Cherokee. And I know there's a lot of variables there, but you want to do a kind of a ballpark? I know it's kind of tough with the cost questions.
Yeah, the cost questions are tough, you know, and the truth is that labor costs are high, you know, because people need to be paid. And I would tell you, depending on the amount of time on the vehicle, if it's a 4, 6, 8 cylinder, sometimes they're very accessible, meaning that they're right out top. Maybe there's one set screw that holds the coil down. You can pull the spark plugs out. There's some scenarios where you need to remove like an intake manifold, some air ducting. So the labor times can go for anywhere from probably 45 minutes up to 3 or 4 hours. So cost-wise, you know, and the spark plugs, they're made out of these precious materials where they could be, you know, $20, $25 a spark plug. There are probably still some that are $10, $12. There's probably some that are $40, $45. So there's a huge range here that you might be spending a couple $100 or $500, $600, $700, depending on the make, model, labor time, and what that vehicle's equipped with. So it's hard to price things without really having all the details. You know, and I would say if you're getting a price you're not sure, call around, get a second opinion. I also feel very, very strongly on spark plugs themselves that you put back in what came out of the vehicle. If you're at the parts store and they say, oh, these should work, don't buy that. You need to, you know, you have that spark plug in your hand. There's a name, a brand, and a part number on there. That's what you want to put back into the vehicle every time. And I won't sway from that one at all. So yeah, put back what came out.
Good point. Plus, like you've told us in the past shows that some vehicles, they're hard to get at.
Well, they're hard to get at. And if you go back a few years, there's certain engine setups that sometimes the spark plug might become seized or stuck in that cylinder head. So you have to have the right know-how to get them out. Because if you damage that spark plug threading in that cylinder head, that's a big costly repair. So if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you get into the job and you hit some resistance, stop, ask questions. You do not want to strip that spark plug or those threads, and you definitely do not want to break that spark plug because you run the risk of that porcelain material getting into the cylinder. If that happens, you run the risk of permanent damage. So I'm not trying to scare you out of doing the job. I just want to make sure you know what you're getting yourself into and you take the time and due diligence to make sure you get it done right.
Nick, I'm looking at a text about a 2008 Honda Pilot, 200,000 miles on it. Does not blow cold air when I turn on the AC. A friend can put refrigerant in, but I don't want to spend the money if that's not the issue. Is it expensive to have a professional diagnose the problem? You guys do that all the time, don't you?
We do, and the issue with your friend who can fill it up is the refrigerant systems work off of weight, the weight of the refrigerant, and there's a scale in the recovery machine that we use that will tell us how much we removed from it and how much we put back into it. It's very specific. If you just take a can of that stuff and push it in there, you're not going to have the right amount. You know, it's like a needle in a haystack. So doing that, I advise against you. And another thing I feel very, very strongly against is you look at these products at the stores, it says it includes like a sealer, or it's going to fix the hole or a plug or whatever it claims it does. The risk there is there's a lot of small components and areas that the refrigerant flows through. If that sealant ends up in one of those spots and restricts or plugs it, now you're looking at much larger repair. So it does cost something. Maybe it's $150, $200 to take it in, have it assessed, possibly even recharge it if there's no leak seen. There might be a repair. It could be as simple as an O-ring. It doesn't have to be a brand new compressor, a very expensive repair, but you don't know until you have it assessed. So the very first step is take it in, find out what's going on. Once you know what's wrong, you can make an informed decision on the path you want to take. But guessing ahead of time is a very bad idea.
Dexter says, this, love the show, gentlemen. Thank you for that. And an interesting question. Maybe this is one I should have you think about it for a while. And when we come back after the weather, you can tell us about it. But maybe you both could chime in. Texter says, my question is, what is one of the strangest repairs you've done or seen in your life or career? Well, you're the ASU certified technician. Think about that for a bit, Nick, and maybe after the weather we can have you tell us about some strange repairs you've done. This one, in the meantime, good morning, Texas says, I bought a 2025 Equinox last year, new. It has a CVO transmission. And we get this from time to time, as you know. After talking to friends of mine who seem to know cars, they're telling me that this is a bad transmission and I'm going to have problems with it. Should I be concerned? It has 8,000 miles on it. What would you say about that? Is it a CVT? Is that what this is? Not a CVO?
Correct. CVT transmissions, and it's a technology. The best thing I can compare it to is like a snowmobile, where it's that constant variable engagement, right? And I think on the lighter weight vehicles, I think they do fine. Obviously, maintenance is important. You know, back to our call earlier, you know, what's a good make, good model, bad model, matter of opinion. The manufacturers put a ton of resources into, you know, engineering these things. And there are some hiccups. I'm not going to dispute that. There's some hiccups out there. But I would say if you maintain your vehicle, if you're driving it, not noticing any issues, don't worry about it. If you're noticing something, it's under warranty. Take it in, share that with them, and see what you can learn from there.
All right. Nick, hang on. We're going to take a break, have a look at that forecast when we come back. Maybe think about that. Maybe you in your career, you've seen or heard some strange repairs on vehicles in years gone by. In the meantime, we'll have a look at that forecast. Let's invite our listeners to join in. We still have some time for your car care question. Nick will be taking his leave about 7:45, so about another 14, 15 minutes. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. All coming at you this morning from News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with, if you're just joining us, Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, ASC certified technician there. Been in the business. How many years have you been? I know you joined Dan when you were really just a kid, right?
Yes, I started working at the Amoco station in 1991. I think it was like April, so it was just a few months before I'd had my got my driver's license, and I may or may not have driven a car or two before I had my license, but don't do that. I started after the Marine Corps. It was in 98 or 99. I started at Lloyd's, worked for Dan for a really long time. And then actually just yesterday was my fifth year of owning Lloyd's. So
wow,
how fast does that happen?
Oh, I know. I should say. Well, you've seen some repairs over the years, and a listener, if you're just joining us, wanted Nick to kind of share some unusual repairs that you have seen. Will you think of one or two offhand?
Yeah, I recall one time we had a customer come in and complain about a thumping noise, and we found that a crescent wrench had impaled into their tire, and not the handle end, but the adjusting end, the wide end. And it was a rear tire, so I assume that the front tire hit the wrench, kind of got it tumbling, and it just the right impact of that rear tire, and it impaled into that tire, and obviously we had to replace the tire because it wasn't repairable. And then there's another time that we had a vehicle where somehow the customer had gotten 10, 12 gallons of diesel fuel into the tank. And I did verify after we, you know, did the repair that the nozzle wouldn't fit in. So I don't know how we never found out because no one really fessed up to what they did. But somehow they got 10 or 12 gallons of diesel fuel into the gasoline fuel tank. And if you have a diesel, you'll know that the nozzle at the filling station is a little bit larger diameter.
Yeah.
Purposefully, so you cannot put that into a gasoline engine filler neck. So those are a couple of really strange ones. Then the oil, we always see these. We're amazed that sometimes the cars, upon repair, you pull the valve cover off, you pull the oil pan down, and some of the sludge that we've seen, it's amazing that these cars run. They are an absolute wonder, you know, and trying to clean and trying to manage those type of situations are always a little bit fun and interesting.
I remember many years ago at a Mercedes-Benz dealership, someone brought in a diesel vehicle, a sedan, and I won't say if it's a husband or wife that did this. I'm not going to choose sides here, but someone put gasoline. Now that would fit in there, obviously, because, like you said, the diesel nozzle is somewhat larger. What happened? How is that repairable? I don't remember what happened at the end of the story. But can that engine, that diesel engine, be repaired after putting in gasoline?
You have to try, right? I mean, in the situations we've seen the reverse, or we will see contamination. You know, you got to drain the pump out. If there's an accessible filter, you do that. You bleed the lines, and then you start with fresh fuel and start slow and see if it'll fire up. If you get it running and try to get through some of that contamination that's left. And we had pretty good success. You know, I've never really had that I can recall a situation where like an engine's been destroyed. Quite honestly, I feel that we've always been very cautious, done our due diligence, like I said, drain the tank, drain the lines, try to bleed out the fuel injection system, give it the best opportunity to rebound and work again. And we've had pretty good luck.
I was visiting with some friends the other day, and one of the friends said that she and her husband have, and I think, hope I'm not wrong, I think they were having trouble with a F-150, and they were thinking of getting a new vehicle anyway. But I'm almost positive, she said, when they took it in for repair, it needed a new engine because of, and I never heard it before, she said they called it a phaser. She said other manufacturers may call it something else. But she said, what is it, Star Trek? Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Well, it's to do with the adjustable valve timing. There's a what we call like a cam phaser mounted at the end of the camshaft. And if something with that component had failed to the extent where it's not engaging or locking, it's kind of slapping around, the timing chain is attached to that. If the timing chain is loose, all havoc could happen. So depending to what extent that went, I also suspect there was probably some warning signs. So if you have not just that make and model, but any vehicle here, a ratcheting sound, a clicking noise upon startup or acceleration, take that and don't ignore that, because that might be something related to the timing, which is related to oil, that something might be worn or damaged. And if you ignore those things, unfortunately, the end result is maybe an engine replacement.
And from really expensive, right? I mean, to replace
extremely it. Expensive. It's they with the technology in these vehicles and these engines, and oftentimes you can find something used, but I'm cautious there. You don't know what you're buying always, but the repairs on vehicles is extremely expensive. They're so complex. The components of parts are very expensive. The labor processes are time consuming. Maintenance is the biggest thing you can do to prevent those situations. And we're all busy. We all have full lives, but you got to take a minute and take care of your car.
Yeah. Wow. Expensive. All right. Let me look here. Oh, I love these questions, which are not necessarily technical questions. But this listener wants to know, is there ever a slow time of year for auto mechanics? That's something we've never asked before.
Well, the joke in the industry was the fair time and then February. The fair time, because we're and what it is we're at the shoulder seasons. We're come fair time, we're out of the heat of the summer. Usually the moderate temperatures are easier on cars. The same with winter. All that cold weather stuff has already kind of happened for the most part, and your vehicles have been repaired. They're up running again. So by the time you have that last cold snap in February, your car's already been repaired, and you can usually work your way through that. But yeah, it's usually February in the fair time. Where there's, I wouldn't say necessarily slow, but, it's not as backed up or as congested as it normally is.
We were talking about repairing an AC, and this texter earlier talking about a friend was able to, could put in some, what we just call Freon. I'm not sure what you call it. But somebody else said, a texter later saying, not to mention the cost of, quote, Freon is obscene. What do you call that refrigerant now, and is it costly?
Yes, it is. If you go far enough back, it was R12, which they got rid of. It became 134A, and now it's 1234YZ. And I don't know how they number and name these refrigerants, but it's a gas. And the newest stuff, the capacities have gotten smaller. It used to be measured in pounds. Oh, it takes 2.5 pounds or, such. Now it's into the ounces, where most systems have less than a pound of this refrigerant. It is very expensive, which is more the reason why you need to spend the time, do your diligence, have somebody find the repair. They've really tightened the process down. When we, on a newer vehicle, we do an air conditioning repair of such. The equipment, the machine that we have, it's very time consuming. They put it on the vacuum extensively long. They want to make sure there's no leaks. We don't want this stuff in the atmosphere. If you're going to the parts store and buying a can of whatever and sticking it in there, it leaks right back out. You're part of the problem there too. So please pause, have somebody look at it, figure out what's going on. Once you know what's going on, you can make that informed decision that helps you, keeps you going down the road.
Very good. I think we have time, Nick, for one final question. This is about tires. Texter says, boy, they are expensive. Do you really get what you pay for with tires?
You do. Do your research. As you said earlier, there's a lot of information online. I like a branded tire. I like branded everything, quite honestly. Like the oil that we use at the shop is a branded oil. We use a branded battery. Our parts, you know, we'd like to use OE parts or OE-like parts. We do a lot of research to make sure we fit that. Kind of goes hand-in-hand with tires. There's always something cheaper, not necessarily better. Not saying you have to go buy the most expensive tire on the road, but do your research. If they're, you know, if you're a member of like Costco, Sam's Club, you know, they got a lot of promotions and such that can help cut down some of that cost. But I advocate primarily for like a branded brand tire, just to avoid the risk of some off-brand tire and issues you might have with it.
Again, common sense there. All right, Nick, we have to run, but in the meantime, you always invite listeners to call in if they have any questions. You guys are kind enough to do that, even if you don't bring in your car for service. But if we do need some help, how do we find Lloyd's?
Yes, sir. That phone number is 651-228-1316. And if you're in St. Paul on Grand Avenue, you'll find us on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand Avenue. If you need more information, check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing. And what do you say we get together for another show next week?
That sounds good, Denny. I'll be ready.
All right. Very good deal. Thank you, Nick. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive.